Blog Talk Radio.
Your boy SP the Ghost, LOXD Blocked, and you are checking out Real Radio, because the radio is real. Fuck with us, tune in, make sure you play it, tell a friend and tell a friend. Real Radio, SP the Ghost, LOXD Blocked, yeah.
Hey yo, it's Tyler Kwali. I'm in the house, I'm in Baltimore. We rocking with Real Radio, because the only radio that I would ever rock would be Real Radio. Let's go.
Yo, what up, world? It's your boy Mad Skills, Ghostwriter, VA All Day, the Wrap Up King, and right about now, you checking out Real Radio live in the mix. Let's go.
What's going on, family? What's going on? Saturday, the 9th of March, we are into Women's History Month full bore. Unfortunately, Sister Rashi will not be on with us today. Definitely disappointing, but one of those things, she's under the weather, so, you know, she called in for the day off. That be what it is. You know, you got to respect it. And hopefully we wish her the best and hope and wish her a swift return to health so that she can get back to herself and doing her life. And a part of that is us, and we look forward to having her in the mix and in the fold with us whenever we can. Last night, I was engaged in conversation. Some friends came down. Well, came up, whatever, to Charlotte because there's an event that they're attending here this week. And we were talking about how things are going for me here. You know, and first off, I appreciate everybody for checking in on your boy and stuff. And making sure that I'm still sane, I'm still alive. I really do. You know, I give that energy out a lot, and it's very much appreciated when it comes back. You know, it is definitely good to check on your strong friends because they can only be strong but for so long, and they need that. You know, when you're giving, it's nice to receive back every now and again. So, yeah, I'm definitely appreciative of that. Now, moving forward. So the conversation, the question came into play about why I do or do not like it here. And I've said the same thing I've been saying. Like, I love the piece. Absolutely love it. I never thought that I would be so much self-aware, so comfortable in a situation that I'm in right now. It is extremely beautiful. Now, I am a hustle and bustle kid. I'm a grind kid. I am a hustler by nature. I'm a city boy. You name it. You think about it. More than likely, I done it, you know, and I like that. Now, as I've gotten older, I've realized I don't need to be in the middle of stuff like that because I'm grown. So I don't need to be in the middle of it, but I need to be close. I need to be close to a city that has a pulse that I can go into when the week has beat me down and I'm like, you know what? Yeah, but tonight, such and such is on. There's a conference. There's a concert. There's a symposium. There's something going on. I'm truly disappointed because I was riding the other day and I was thinking to myself, there are two HBCUs, Johnson C. Smith and Barbara Scotia. And I don't hear anything about anything that's going on in either one of those games. Now, Barbara Scotia is a different story. I'm going to try to finagle myself in there and get in with them because they have a comeback story that I feel is worthy of telling. And I believe that they're going to come back. And I want to be in with that. I really do. Because they deserve it. Our community deserves it. So I want to be a part of it. But Johnson C. Smith is established. Well established. It got everything. All the boxes are checked. And I still hear nothing about it. I don't hear about any community involvement. I don't hear about any major or minor speakers. I don't hear about any features. Nothing. You have young folk that are going to school whom you want to unleash on the world to be future leaders, and I don't hear about anybody coming through to help guide them, to give them a different perspective, to make them think about something. The only thing I know about that school is there. That's it. You know, so actually today, when we get off air, I'm going to make a point of going over to Johnson C. Smith's campus. I want to go over to the student union, and I want to see what's going on. And maybe I'll swing over to Barbara Scotia as well, because Barbara Scotia is closer, so I may do that first and then swing over to Johnson C. Smith. But that is going to happen today. It is ridiculous to me that, again, I'm living in a city with two HBCUs, and I hear nothing. Nothing. You know about football. Hell, I don't even know about football. To be real, in this city, I have heard very little about any football games, any basketball games, nothing. I didn't know when their fucking homecoming was. I cannot imagine that. I cannot imagine that. You knew when Morgan Holmes coming. You knew when NYC homecoming was. What are you talking about? NYC homecoming. What are you saying? What? Huh? How does this work? I don't get it. I really don't. So I'm going to help myself change the narrative, and I'm going to get the script a little bit, and I'm going to go see what's going on. Outside of that, we continue the conversation with that, with the lack of structure, and this will bridge into Brother Barry's show from this morning. Good morning, brother. I see you on with us. About
hey, good morning, brother.
Black-owned businesses in this city. You know, so last week after the show, I decided, you know what? I'm not going to run away from Charlotte. I'm going to have a great Charlotte day. I'm going to have a great Charlotte day. Get my ass out. Get on Google. Find a couple places to support black-owned businesses. So I like to spend my money with people who like me, and this is what I'm going to do. So I said, you know what? I had a taste for barbecue. Like I want barbecue bad, and I'm looking for beef versus you all know I don't eat pork. So couldn't find it. High and low, low and high, could not find it. The places that I did find, only do it on Saturday. I'm sorry, this was last Sunday, not Saturday. My apologies for the date mix. So today I'm going to try to see if I can find something today, and I'll make a couple phone calls before I go. Notice I said phone calls. I'll explain to you why in a half a second. A couple places I saw only do it on Saturdays. Okay, you know what? I'm going to check today, see who's doing what, and I'm going to try that out. The reason I emphasize phone calls, I said, okay, well, bump that. I couldn't find that to eat, so I went and got something. I don't even remember what the hell I ate. That's bad. But, afterward, I was like, okay, well, I couldn't get the food where I wanted the food. Let me at least get something sweet. You dig? Let me at least get something sweet. So I looked up some ice cream shop, black owned again. I'm like, spend my money if people look like me. I found three places came up. One place did more gelato type stuff, and I was like, yeah, if I'm going to be bad, I'm going to be bad. I want ice cream. Another spot comes up. It's great reviews. You know, it's open, according to Google. It's open. Time-wise, I'm saying. So, hold on. I'm like, bad. Now, where I live at is on the northeast side, right? It takes me a minute to get into Charlotte and get to where I want need to be. So I drive my happy little ass over there because I'm happy. I'm like, yo, you know what? And my money was supposed to light me. Maybe I'll find a different vibe from the places I've seen thus far, and maybe this is the connection that I need. Man, I get over that monster. Why the motherfuckers is not even there no more? Building hollow. Signage is still up on the windows. Lock on the door. Building hollow. I'm like, what? So I call the number. It goes to a Google voice line. Okay, here we go with this bullshit. So a couple hours later, someone calls me back. I missed the call because I was engaged. Oh, it was Sunday, so I was engaged and getting ready for... No, it was Saturday. That was Saturday. But anyhow, I was engaged in doing something else. The something else was shopping. I ain't going to lie. I was shopping. Look, you can't put money in my pocket to give me time. It just don't work. It just don't work. I swear for the Lord, it just don't work. So I'm out here shopping, spending money I ain't got, but I'm going to spend it in the goddamn house. That's what I do. So I'm doing my thug-dizzle, my nizzle. And I see I missed the call and stuff. And I had to, actually, I had the phone on silent. That's why I missed the call. So I, because it was right at the shop. And I forgot to turn the phone back on. So I called back, got the voicemail, got the Google voice thing again, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. I'm like, yo, this is just fucking ridiculous. I say all that because I've been saying that since I've been here, right? And there's this brother that goes around and does food reviews. He drives. He's always doing them in his car. He drives around for cities, and he cursed the folks out down here in Charlotte about just what I just said. You know, and we have a lot of old ideas about the South. The South has changed a lot, y'all. This is not the South of our youth. This is not the old mommy and daddy South. This shouldn't change a whole lot. No, you can't find good food and grandma cooking every damn where. That's just not happening. No, things ain't super cheap like they used to be. That just ain't happening. And I mean dirt cheap. It's not like that down here. A lot has changed. Main reason is a whole lot of people from the north moved south. So that's what's going on. But anyhow, so I made that another pillar of my discuss with Charlotte. And, you know, my homegirl was like, yo, don't you just love the peace? And it's just lovely. I'm like, nigga, no. You know what I'm saying? Like, that may be what you love. I don't love that. That's not my thing. I don't need to be in seclusion, far away from people, or not have neighbors. And that, no, that does not appeal to me. I actually like people. I like people. Mm-hmm. I like us to have our distance, but I like people. I love the fact that I walk outside and to my left, my man has held me down ever since I've been here. My neighbor's held me down ever since I've been here. Bar none, without a doubt, that is a stand-up dude. That's a good dude right there. And I talk to him whenever I have an opportunity to talk to him. And that dude talks to me, and he will tell me in a heartbeat, son, I saw packages out. I grabbed them. I got them in the house. Hold on. I'll bring them out food. Because you were gone for a couple of days. Son, blah, 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 blah. He will tell me anything and everything that's happening in my house. Because he and his wife own their own business. So he's home more than he's gone. You know what I'm saying? So he will tell me anything. He is the neighborhood watch. I love it. And not only that, but he's a good dude. And we just stand up there sometimes. We just kick it for a couple of minutes. And then I'll come in my house, he'll go in his house, and that's what's up. I love that. But I don't – that's not something that I need to be forever in my life. You know, I wouldn't mind living back in a building. I haven't lived in a building, God knows, forever, but I'm living back in the building, you know what I'm saying, and having that type of communal experience. Eventually it's going to happen. Shit, I'm going to get old. You know, look, hey, man, I ain't never thought about it until the other day when somebody was telling me that they lived in the 55 and over complex or whatever. I was like, oh, shit, that's close for me. I might need to look into that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that might be the move for me pretty soon. Well, not too soon, but I'm saying in the very near future, it's going to be the move. Why not? You know what I mean? I might save a little coin doing something like that. Might get a little extra amenities. I'm into the amenities now. You know what I'm saying? I'm a grown man now. I like amenities. But I tell you what, Thomas,
first time I ever had a dishwasher, except for one of my little brothers, is when I went to Houston. Oh, who got a dishwasher? I got a dishwasher in my pot. Are you for real? Man, I used to look at that thing and just marvel at it. I'm like, what? I got a dishwasher. What? Dude, I'm a hood kid, son. I'm a hood kid, son. I grew up okay later on in life, but in the beginning, shit was rough. You hear me? So,
right.
I don't think I had, let me see. I'm trying to remember the first house I ever lived in was Central Air and Central Heat. I had roommates when I was in Alabama. That was the first house I lived in with Central Air and Central Heat. Now, I lived in homes before that had Central Heat, but not air. So, yeah, we had the window unit and stuff. But, dog. It just ain't for me, and I'm okay with that. You know, it's a stop on the train. The train isn't over yet. I just got to figure out the next move. But while I'm here, I'm going to make the most of it. You know what I'm saying? And that came about that. But I have some more time for myself now. I have some more time to turn to my offshoot things. That's why I said to you earlier, I was like, you need me to come up there and do the Black Wall Street presentation up there in Twin Cities. Because now I'm like, okay, you know what? Time to start moving around. It's time to start doing
right.
Something. Because it ain't here. It's not here. I can't be here. I cannot be here week in and week out and just be like, shit, I'm in Charlotte. Like, I can't do that. I need something to look forward to. This ain't Lee, man. I'm not built like this. You know what I'm saying? Do you plan on staying in the Twin Cities? I know you were looking at moving to Texas at one point. So do you plan on staying up there? Or, you know, once the app is get launched and you do your thing, you like, shit, I'm going to Dallas.
You know what? Me and my lady Wisdom, we've talked about it, and on the real, as much as I would love to, stick around. No, I'm out. And part of it is I want to be somewhere where I see more beautiful sunsets in a calendar year than what I see here in Minnesota. And I also want to be around more black people. Part of that is because I feel like it's not, I used to say the word culture, but I don't think it's so much of the culture. I just think it's the energy. It's just interesting, but no, fam, I feel you though. I think that a lot of it though is just getting ingratiated. Because even on our show, I have to all, and I didn't do a good job of saying it this morning, but reminding people that when we move places, sometimes we just got to get to know the history of the town, because it'd be stuff that we'd be missing because we don't know the history that's already there. And it'd be like Smurf Village. It'd be a lot of things popping. We're just not, because we're on the outside looking in as transplants, they don't always put us on to where they really doing it at, you know?
So to your point, right, this is what I want to do here in Charlotte. This is why I launched Black Charlotte. I want to do the gathering here in Charlotte. Not the way Rodney does it, because Rodney's retired. He ain't got no goddamn life outside of food. I want to do it in a manner that's supportive and can be supported by the youthful folks that come into Charlotte in droves. So my goal, plan is to do something Saturday, early mid-afternoon to early evening. You know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking something 4 to 6-ish, maybe 6 to 8. You know what I'm saying? And get together at a venue. I'm still trying to find that venue. I have yet to find the place that I've walked into and like, okay, you know what? This could be the place. It's sizable enough, yet it has that welcoming, warm feeling that when people walk in, it's like, okay, this is our spot. But but we can play some spades over in the corner. We can play some bones. We can do a trivia game. You know what I'm saying? Like, do stuff like that. And in the midst of all of that, still have those introductions like the gathering. Hey, my name is, I'm from, my people are from, I moved here last week for the job. I moved here last week, a month ago, because I just wanted to change. Mm-hmm. I heard it was hot. What is the place about? What is there to do? Where is there to go? And then us being able to rattle off, well, oh, you need to go here. You need to go here. Hey, connect with this person. That's not here, dog. It's just not here. And if it is, I've not seen it. And I've asked about it. I've asked about it. I've asked about it. And no one has been able to plug me into it as yet. Nobody. Nobody. And I'm like,
It's sort of like that. It's sort of like that here too. It's sort of like, it's sort of like that here too. And I think a lot of it is just, a lot of it is just like, you know, people, for the most part, in my opinion, like to hold on to spaces like that. Sometimes you got to be careful who you ask and what you ask. I know we talked about it, just me and you. But then you get into that whole thing, that separatism amongst blacks. So they see a brother coming along asking some brothers, like, yo, where's the spot where this and this, this and this is jumping off track? Then the brothers don't want to tell you. Then you ask the sisters, and then they might be in the sorority, but they may say you may not be one of their frat brothers. So now they ain't telling you because they're trying to keep it down for the frat. And so you get caught up into all of these things where it's the separatist piece. But then I know Charlotte has a booming influx of people there too, right, because of the banking industry. So there are a lot of people, a lot of black people who I know have, you know, relocated from all across the country. As a matter of fact, I need to connect you with one of my homeboys from the Twin Cities, Randy Stadden. He's there. I believe he works out there at one of the banks there. So he's moved out there about 7 years ago and been out there ever since. His father was a well-known civil rights leader here, Randy Stadden Sr. So I'll connect you with Stadden. I'll try to do that today. Inbox, introduce you via Facebook inbox. But yeah, man, it's just a lot of it's kind of funny in that way. And you know, with social media, bro, a lot of people ain't as social as they used to be. You know what I'm saying?
Not
we
at
the social
all,
media,
bro. And again, this is another thing I need you all to understand about the South. It's not that warm, you know, hey, how you doing? Now, you can find that in New Orleans. You definitely find that in New Orleans. But down here, it's not that. I don't know what y'all thinking about, but I'm here to tell you something different. I promise you it's something different. But you are absolutely right, bro. It's like, yo, what you mean? I attempted to make contact with somebody the other day. It was either a quick head nod or something, and I was like, God damn, I'm working too hard to say what's up to somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm good. And that's what that is. But you are right. You are absolutely right, bro. It is nowhere near how it used to be in a multitude.
Yeah.
And that is one of them, without a doubt.
Because, you know, you're
right,
folks.
Folks don't talk. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, because I live in Mississippi, you know, you hear about Southern hospitality, right? And you're like, man, Southern hospitality.
That is a myth.
You get there, you find out, man, that's a conversation with your grandparents and they folks. You know, like the ones that migrated, they still got it. But the kids and the folks that live there today, they're not as hospitable as probably they used to be. So I definitely understand what you – I certainly get it.
Not at all.
Man, I found
not
that quick, like, nah, because, no, man. You know what's funny, though, Lee? Is that you hear about it, and then I got down there, and I found myself, especially in Mississippi, having white people talking to me more than black folks were. Being kind and nice. And I'm like, wait a minute, hold on a second. Like, what's going on here? You know, like,
ain't this flip? Y'all trying to do something to your boy?
You know, because you're ready for that KKK USA type treatment, right? And they down there like, you know, they going to baby you to death, honey you to death. And you going to hear all of that. And
sugar,
you know, man, listen,
sugar,
listen.
No, ain't no worry about that sugar. We going to take care of that right now. David, would you come on over here and help this lovely fellow over here? And you sitting around like, what? You said, man, service has been horrible down here, dog. Service has been horrible. I never thought that it would be this bad. I have had better service in New York City than I've had in I have had better service, let me say that again, in New York City than I've had in Jersey. But think about it. It's an economic thing, because if you're not a good server in New York, you don't get paid. You can't afford to have a shitty attitude. You know what I'm saying? You can't afford that. You can afford it down here. You can afford it.
Yeah, I see.
You may not like it, but you can afford it. You can't afford that in New York. You need those tips. Those tips are your train money. Those tips are your cell phone bill money. Those tips are your Con Edison money. Con Edison does the power, everybody. You know what I'm saying? That's what those tips are. That's what that's
right.
about. You need those tips. Down here, I'll take it, leave you. I'm telling you, son. I got some of the worst service I ever had in South Carolina. Small little town in South Carolina, black-owned establishment. They were understaffed for that day for whatever reason. And I stayed, but I took issue with it, and it said something about it. It's like, yo, all you had to do was when people walked in the door and said, hey, we are understaffed, but the food will make up for your inconvenience. Please work with us. All you had to say. I was sat pretty quickly, took a couple minutes for the water to come by, and just sat there, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and then some young lady comes by, said, can I take you? I'm like, yo, what's going on? Oh, we understand. You could have said that at the door. I would have had a totally different mindset if you said that at the door. Now I'm like, you just trying to shit on me. Yo, I never understood. Well, that's not true. It's not I never understood because I never knew. I never knew that there was a strong bias against people from New York in the South, especially here in North Carolina. I've heard it several times here in North Carolina.
City slickers.
What the hell does that have to do with it? Oh, you from New York? Yeah, okay. What the fuck does that mean? You know what I'm saying? Oh, you one of them. What the fuck is one of them? So today, believe it or not, just so haphazardly, I decided to wear my New York Black Yankees attire, right? Because it's a little,
now
little chill.
Now you're trying to fight with him.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're trying to
fight. Definitely. I'm coming out hella clean, hella strong. You know what I'm saying? I got the sweatshirt. I got the hat. I got the jacket. That's it. I don't have the sneakers. I didn't buy the sneakers. Well, I have them. I have sneakers to match. Obviously, then I'd be your Black Yankees. I'm showing support for my own girl. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, when I was down in Atlanta, I stopped into the new Black Wall Street Market. If you're in Atlanta, let me explain something to you. It's not that spot is not in Atlanta. It's in one of the suburbs because you know Atlanta is actually very small. And if you don't know, I'm here to tell you, Atlanta is extremely small. The suburbs of Atlanta, everyone claims to be Atlanta, ain't fucking Atlanta, but whatever. So it's about 30 minutes outside of the city. But it's a very nice venue, very nice venue. So it looks like, to me, it looks like, it's pretty big. So I don't know if it was like a enclosed mall or like a super big like JCPenney or Macy's back in the day, something like that. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a pretty sizable spot. You walk in and then it's been gutted rebuilt out. So some people have stalls, but the stalls aren't like a curtain or anything like that. It's actually like a room.
And there's a food court area. And the sister in there, if you walk in, go to the left, go to the far right after you make the left, that sister's food was, that was it. That fish was good. Fish was good. The vegetables were good. I was very happy when I left. And it was definitely hit. But I, like I said, I went in to support my homegirl Kim and stuff, and bought a couple pieces when I was there. I bought a couple sweatshirts. I bought a couple hats. I told you, you can't give me money in time, goddammit. You just can't. I'm always out shopping. So, and I told the young lady that was working there that day, like, Kim is not going to break me today. She is not going to break me today. I got to leave something to give her when she's at the Capital Jazz Fest. So I picked up a couple of things, not everything. So I left a thing or two on the shelf that I'll pick up in June. But, it's that type of success. That's my girl. So, if you're in Atlanta and you want to go to the Black Wall Street spot, definitely go through. It was really nice, man. It was really nice because it's black owned. It was nice because it was clean. It was nice because it is and truly was a space for us. You know what I'm saying? And when you walk in, brother standing there to greet you and, you know, give you a quick tour, you know, hey, if you go this way, this is there. If you go that way, this is there. You know, it was nice. It was very nice. I was happy to see that. And hell, it might have been the old mall, to be honest with you. But whatever. It was nice. It was really nice. Shameless plug for them, you know, for free. You ain't got to pay me for that one. I support those who support us. So that's what that's about. But, yeah, I don't even know where I was going at with that those times. My mind went in a million different directions. I thought about spending money and shopping, bro. I'm telling you, like, see, Thomas, I got this little habit, bro. Like, because I don't go out often, I don't want to be seen wearing the same stuff whenever I do go out. So I like to change my look up, which means I need to buy some clothes, which means I tend to buy a lot of clothes because they be cheap. And since I'm cheap, it kind of matches together. You know what I mean? Like, it just all works out. Like, the other day, I wound up buying a couple of blazers and a shirt, and I spent less than $100. And I was like, this is just stealing. But my closet ain't got enough space for all this stuff. But since it is stealing, I'm going to continue to steal because I'm addicted now. So I don't know what to do sometimes, Barry. Help me. I need help. I need rehab. I need something because this ain't good.
Well,
this ain't good for me.
Well, I tell you, according to my lady, I ain't the best person to ask because
oh,
my closet. Well, not really. I think that she kind of like failed to understand a couple things were taking place. So, you know, before my accident 4 years ago, I was working out. And I had slimmed, like, I slimmed down a hell of a lot, bro, because I was putting time in the gym. I was putting my time in. And I got down to a large, which for me was good. I still had a ways to go, but I got down to a large. And I was working out. And then, you know, when you work out, and then when you're bigger, and then you work out, and then you got to go buy the clothes to match, because, you know, you can't wear no baggy-ass clothes, bro. Especially in the line of work that I do. When you're speaking or teaching or whatever I'm doing, your clothes got to fit because, you know, people are very receptive to what they see.
Are.
And
yes,
so
they are.
If I look a certain way,
you look a hot mess. You can go and say it. If you look a hot mess.
Hey, man, I just had this conversation with my sister, Kalisa, and I said, man, you better thank God that he blessed you to be beautiful. Because if you weren't, people would listen to your story. People would listen. I should say her story because it's not her story when it comes to child protection services, but it's her mission to get, you know, to change CPS for our families. But I told her, I said, you know, people are very receptive to things that look nice. And so I can tell you when I'm in shape, women and men both respond to you differently. So I had to get the clothes to match. And hey, brother, you know, when you're making that type of money, man, I might go into the polo store and blow a good $3,000, just depending on my day and my mood, right? I can do it. And she would be like, you know, it's funny because my daughter, once we went, I think I was shopping, and I was trying to buy my daughter something at the Polo store too, because I was like, well, you know, maybe here, you know. She told me while I'm paying for my stuff, like, gee, Dad, like, what? I mean, what else are you going to buy? You literally got every color that's in this place. And so I heard that, but I have not been shopping on the real. I have not been actively shopping the last 2 years. My son might buy me some J's every now and then. I might buy myself a pair of J's. That's probably once every 3 months. I'm really not shopping as much as I used to, and part of it is because it's the business. You know, you try to put it to the business. But what I will tell you, brother, is whatever you decide to do, as much as we criticize our folks for shopping, we are more receptive to how people look. If me and you came in some faded-out clothes, jeans, and our shoes look just A-OK, right, but might maybe a little worn down, they don't want to listen to us. But, you know, that's how Bill Gates dressed. That's how Warren Buffett dressed.
Say that again.
But our people, they don't necessarily get that from us. It'll be like, oh, Thomas said, what? Lee said, what? Do you see that fool's shoes? That's going to be the conversation.
What's that for? Them crusty shoes, them dusty shoes, them run-over shoes. What's that boy, Steve Jobs? Steve Jobs is infamous for a damn black t-shirt or black turtleneck and jeans. That's all that boy wore. Zuckerberg, wears the same damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the damn look of money. Y'all get it twisted. The look of money is not to look like you got damn money. Look like you got damn money. Look of money is to look broke because you got your money working for you. You ain't wearing it every damn day. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may sound contradictory to what I just said, but it's not. And I'll explain. The reason it's not contradictory to what I just said is the majority of the shit that I buy, especially when on the high-end side, is to support organizations. So my Negro League retired. A portion of that money goes back to the widows. A portion of that money goes back to the players that are still alive. That's my mission. My mission, again, is to support those who support us. You know what I'm saying? Now, the other shit that I buy is to support the business because, as you said, Brother Barry, people are more receptive when you look a certain way. So when I'm in a meeting, when I'm going to a conference, when I'm doing this, that, and the third, I need to look a certain way to ensure that I continue to get invited back to open up doors, open up avenues that we can then explore later on. So, you know, I don't play with mine. I'm not going out here buying clothes every week or every other week or something like that, but I'll get a little stint, and I'm like, you know, I need to change this up. I need to change that up. I need to add this. I need to add that. If Puma stopped sending me emails, then I would be okay because I don't know why, but all of a sudden I didn't turn into a damn sneakerhead, you know, for the past 10 years, I think. You know, I don't, and they got the colors, bro. They just keep coming with the colors, son. I'm like, good Lord, I need that. You know, I got the perfect outfit because, you know, black folks don't wear clothes. We don't wear clothes. We wear outfits.
I went to see
Cat Williams Sunday just passed, and one of the comedians like, I see y'all got your outfits on, and I was sitting next to some white folks, and they looked a little puzzled. I said, yeah, because black folks don't wear clothes. We wear outfits. We don't just put some things on. Like, oh, y'all put some clothes. No, we have a whole outfit. We in our head, we envision this, that. This is going to go with this. That's going to go with this. That's an outfit. Look at me right now. I'm in an outfit. This ain't clothes, baby.
Mm-hmm.
You might think it's clothes, but this is an outfit. You hear me? And I'm walking up in that spot, and folk, male, female, like, oh, bro, I like that. You sharp. Oh, bro, you like that. Oh, my goodness. I love your hat. Oh, my goodness. I love your jacket. Oh, my goodness. I love your shirt. Man. Thank you. I love your shoes. Thank you. I had a whole outfit going on. You know what I'm saying? But that's what we do. That's the difference. That's one of the differences. But, yeah, you know, the looks do matter, especially when you're in operating on that other arena, which – again, Thomas, goes back to your show this morning. So the sister on your show this morning was talking about she provides a full service hair salon, and she said that when you look good, you feel good. I agree with that wholeheartedly. You know, and I applaud all the folks that are out here cutting hair, doing hair, we even had, well, not none of this, but I prefer natural over that artificial stuff. Braiding hair.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, hell, if you weave hair, it is, you know what I'm saying? I can't knock the hustle. But yeah. But then you see folk go outside and you see, I didn't even know about this person until last night. Nookie with the good nookie. And I'm saying nookie because Rod is on right now, so I don't want to say the other word. My whole head started, because, you know, again, my whole girl, we talking, and she was like, yeah, you see this girl, Sookie with the good, I was like, I ain't never heard of this person. And she was like, oh, you got to look up. So I looked up, and I was like, why did you make me look up that mess? That's just a mess. That's a mess. You see the interview when the girl said that she's a musician and she argued with the girl and said, I'm no damn magician.
Mm-hmm.
you said, I think. That's ghetto. I don't think. I'm like, oh, my God. My whole soul just left my body. And I heard Rodney's voice saying, and this is why we need to get the kids to read.
Kid books.
Are you in your feelings that you misunderstood the word musician for magician? First and foremost, are you so in your feelings that you're not even open to listen when the young lady said you think, and you took that as an insult because she said that you think? So you thinking now is an insult? Is this where we are in our society? That think someone accuses you of thinking and you take that as an insult? Wow. Oh, my God. You know what? My pressure up right now thinking about it. It's up right now thinking about that. And I wanted to get into this before I guess get going, because Val's going to come on and talk about the ride and the fundraiser that she's having for veteran suicide prevention. That's a serious topic. We need to give the sister some serious time to talk on that. But do you all want to get on the State of the Union now and then let her come in and then we can end it, or you think we got enough time to go through it right now? Because the Republican response is really where I want to start at. I was confused wholeheartedly with the response. Not necessarily the verbiage, but the imagery, the tone. So you, what do you all think? Go into it now or should we wait?
We can go into it now so that way we can give it a space and time. And if we got space in between, we can always do that.
I got you. Rodney, you with that?
I will be listening most of it, but let's do it.
Okay. So you put a white woman in the kitchen. Okay, I need to say that one more time. You put a white woman in a kitchen. Now, I don't understand how these two things go together, because if you ain't Julia Childs, I don't know no white woman that I would trust in the kitchen. I don't need to talk about the steward in the kitchen, because Lord have mercy. But you put a white woman in the kitchen to deliver the response to the State of the Union, in which they had the notes on the State of the Union. They knew what Biden was going to say. Mm-hmm. Biden put on a show. He put on a master class, yet again, at the State of the Union, in which he evoked the need to solidify women's place in our nation and women's place in history. If, more so than not. He was talking about IVF. He talked about abortion rights. He was placating to women in general. And you respond with a white woman being in a kitchen to make those calls. Then her tone. Now, Rodney, you've told me a couple of times I need to watch The Handmaid's Tale. I don't know if the two are close, but I was told that they are. I don't know for sure, but I was told that they were. This woman went from, sounded like she was, the tone was like she was reading a children's story of Little Bo Peep, maybe, to she's reading Freddy Krueger's Nightmares. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with this lady? She, her tone goes from this to that to that to, what? I'm literally glued to the television. I was supposed to be in bed, mind you. This was the night that, was this the night that we had our call? Wasn't it the same night? No, it was the next night. Yeah. But anyhow, I was supposed to be in bed. That doesn't matter. I was supposed to be in bed. I was supposed to be going off, but I couldn't turn the television off because I was confused. I was like, is this somebody going to pop out? Is it something more to the scene? What's going on? Saturday Night Live is going to have a field day with that this weekend. Oh my God, I can only imagine. She put me in the mindset of a Bobby Jindal when he did the response to the State of the Union. Bobby Jindal, remember him? The little he was a little Indian guy, former governor of Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And Marco Rubio. When Marco Rubio did the response to the State of the Union, and he was so nervous. He had thirsty. He had the glass of water. He was shaking like a daggone leaf, trying to drink at the same daggone time. It was just crazy. I remember because Chris Matthews was still on when Bobby Jindal came out, and Chris Matthews, it was a hot mic, and he didn't know. Chris Matthews said, "Oh my God, what is this?" Yo, that was the feeling I got from Katie Britt, that senator, Alabama. What were they thinking with this? She's a rising star, I understand. You knew he was coming after women and womanhood. I get it. But you put her in the kitchen. You don't put her in her office at home. You don't put her in her office on the Hill. You don't put her standing behind a podium herself. You don't put her standing with workers, and then fading from the workers and focusing on none of that. You put her at home in the kitchen. Yeah, go ahead, Thomas, because I don't understand.
Well, I would say, brother, it is a definitely a different contrast to what Biden stated. But I will say this, that the GOP and the women followers lately have been trying to get out of the feminine/womanist movement, and they are saying that they do want to get back into the kitchen, that they do want to be housewives. And so I think that they were signaling that to their base. Now, do I think it was a great and smart counter? No, because the world has moved on from that position. And you know how it is, brother. Once you get the rules out the tube, it's hard to put it back in. And I don't think that they'll ever be able to get that back in. And that's not a message for all Americans. White folks and Asian folks could afford things like that. But you couldn't ask Latinos and African Americans to not have their wives or their girlfriends or their daughters not to work, because the reality of it is, the average household medium income is a lot less than the white average household medium income, as well as the Asians who have the highest average household medium income. So that's not a reality for all Americans. It is a symbol of white privilege, because white folks can afford to stay home. But you know this from your previous marriage and other relationships. Like, can we really afford can we really afford to do that? That's a part of their messaging that they don't get. And I do believe that some of it is red meat when we talk about some of the YouTube channels that even some of our dear brothers be putting on when they talk about, you know, the passport bros and those guys, when they talk about they just want a woman to be barefoot and pregnant. But like I said, the world has moved on, and, you know, that's bad messaging. But what's new from the GOP? They typically just ball beat you with a message. They typically are always off kilter, and, you know, they never disappoint. They're always full of shit.
I get you. I agree with that too. But who approved this? That's my question. I guess that's the biggest question I have. Who in the hell thought this was an okay idea? Who thought that was cool? Who thought that that would be, again, in this year, right? So they've been stupid, backfired with the Roe v. Wade decision, totally backfired against them. They're losing right and left and right over that. Then they come with the Alabama judge that does the whole eggs of children thing. Okay. Stupid. That's going to be killer to them as well. Now you're saying, and I hear where you're going, for them and their base, that, you know, they want to be closer to home, family. It makes sense. But these other folks, the independents, the Democrats, the folks that are on the line of, well, I don't like them Democrats, but now you're saying to them, okay, so y'all motherfuckers think that we should, no matter how well we do, you only see us as being good enough as being in your kitchen? Yeah, I think I'm going to go another way, and I'm going to hope for the best next go around. Because that's what you, in my opinion, that's what you just did. This is what you just did. Are you serious right now? That makes sense to you?
Maybe they're serious. Maybe so dead. You know, and once again, this is what happens when you do politics based off of polling, right? Not necessarily the metrics of the union as far as the entire country and not just white folk and, you know, the Fox News type. You have to really know the temperature of the country as well as the world, because this is it's a smaller world now because everybody's connected. So you can't just put women back into, you know, the kitchen, you know, like that. You know, it's almost like, man, it's almost as dumb as Sarah Palin used to be, right? But just remember how Sarah Palin would always talk, and remember how no matter what happened, her talking points would never change because they were always based off of the polling. This is what the polling said. This is what the polling says. Well, the problem with your polling is you're polling to a small demographic compared to the American people. Now, this is the thing I will tell you, though, that I think that they're hoping for. I think that they're hoping for, and, you know, and I know we always have this pushback on this show, but I think what they're hoping for is that those folks who really pay attention to politics, right, they know that most of those folks are Democrats. And they also know that the Biden administration may not have gotten a lot of people happy and hyper to vote for them this time around. So they're not trying to reach to those folks and have the conversation with them, Brother Lee. So I think they're trying to talk to, I believe they're trying to talk to the people who are in their base, because they're saying, hey, we can already, if we can guarantee a low voter turnout with the Democratic Party, then we can almost ensure that we'll get in. And one last quick point is that even here in the Twin Cities, and I know this from my position in Black Civic Network, typically around this time, dollars would have already fell in, and they would have put money into door knocking and canvassing to get folks out to vote at the caucuses and primaries. That money has not trickled in this time around the year, especially not here in Minnesota. That's why we had over 64,000 people who voted non-committed in the caucuses.
I am pulling for a year in which when folks go to the ballot box, they're going to the ballot box to vote for their beliefs, yes, but they're the true greater good, and I want to clarify that. The true greater good is not what you believe, but what you know, well, I'm sorry, what you see to be true, and the hope that that truth will continue on a line, not just for you, but also for your children and your children's children. And if we do that, I think we'll get the outcome that we all deserve. If we don't do that, then I think we may fall into an abyss that none of us are prepared for. Even those who support the abyss, I don't think they're ready for that. Because, you know, it's easy, it's much easier to get something, it's much more difficult to get something back once it's taken away. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You're talking about someone who's declared that he will be a dictator for a day. I don't think anyone's ready for that. Even the people that support him, I don't think they're ready. Because that will negatively impact them as well. So, this November, we say this time and again, and I've said this on the show because we said it on the show. We say this time, this is the most important election ever. Yo, this really is, like, because in our lifetime, this really is. Because you're talking about a dude who is hell-bent on him, and he over everything and everybody. That's scary. That's extreme. That is something that none of us can afford, because that is something that will tank not only our moral standings throughout the world, but that'd be ugly. That'd be real ugly. I'm nervous about Texas right now. I'm nervous about Texas right now because if they get it up their asses that they want to push back against the Fed as they're coming in to try to secure the border, who may join them in that push? And do we really fall into another civil war? And, you know, this ain't over black and white this go around. This is really more over states' rights and state liberties at that point. Mm-hmm. At least that will be the banner. I see certain states flying under this. Brother Barry, you were spot on. This week, Louisiana is pushing some of the harshest tough-on-crime bills ever. But as you said, that happens every election cycle. Every election cycle, everybody wants to be tough on crime. You'll see more police-related shootings. You'll see all this crap happen every election cycle because that's the mantra from both sides. I'm tough on crime. I'm pro-blue, so on and so forth. So, you know, I saw that, and I was like, wow, Thomas called it. He called it. He was spot on with the two. He was nowhere near off in his messaging. But we'll step aside for the moment because our guest is on, and she's a friend of the show. She's been here before. We wanted to give her some time today to talk about the push for awareness, money, because money relates to actions. Around veteran suicide prevention. Ladies and gentlemen, we have with us Commander Valerie Rayner of the 8th District Command for North Carolina Department of the American Legion. How you doing, sis? How you doing, Val?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on again.
Awesome. Girl, bring some energy. You that was flat. How you doing, sis? How you doing, Val?
I'm doing good, bro. I'm also at the hair.
There you go.
I'm at the hair salon getting my hair done. But, you know, I multitask. That's what I do. But thank you for having me on this again this year.
Are you getting your hair did right now?
I am getting my hair done right now. I have my Bluetooth headset on, and she's curling up my hair. I am one of the recipients for a Humanitarian Woman of the Year Award for...
Hold on. Who's doing your hair? What's your hairstylist name? What's her name?
My hairstylist name is Charlene Jones. We are here at the Phoenix Salons here in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Hey, Charlene. What's going on, girl?
She said, hey, Charlene.
Hi.
She said, hi.
Okay.
Remember, I told you I got my earpiece in, but she can hear me.
Okay.
Out loud, so.
My bad. My bad.
No worries.
Okay. So, tell us about the event and when is it going down?
Okay, so this is our second year doing the suicide prevention charity ride. This year's theme is called Be the One, and that's the push right now for the American Legion that we want. We're pushing our veterans to be the one to check in on our, you know, our counterparts, because right now veteran suicide is at 22 a day. But out of that number, 18% of that number is female veterans that are single moms. And that number is too high.
And
yeah.
So what is the goal? What are you trying to do with it? You're trying to reach younger vets, you're trying to reach vets as they transition out, you're trying to reach them while they're still in service before they become veterans. How are you trying to reach for
this? Basically, what we're trying to do, because like I told you, 3 years ago last month, I lost a former female soldier to suicide. She was a single mom, and she left behind at that time a five-year-old and a six-month-old. So I'm trying to get the word out there about there are resources for suicide prevention. There is help. But as you know and I know, growing up back then, it was a stigma, you know, it was a stigmatism and a stereotype for, you know, for veteran suicide. You know, we didn't talk about that.
I agree with that. You know, everyone tries to be a super soldier instead of being a person who is a soldier. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
An airman, a sailor, or a Marine, or hell, what did the Coast Guard call themselves? I don't even know. You know,
Coast Guard.
They are so forgotten.
They are, and the crazy thing about it is one of my parents' close friends, he's a retired Coast Guardsman.
Exactly.
I think that's what he said.
I have no idea what they call them. Rodney, what do they call themselves? Do you know?
Coast Guardsman?
I think that's what it is.
That's
what it
okay.
is.
Okay.
So,
and the Guardians
are
the Space Force people. You know what I'm saying? So you got the Guardians for the Space Force people. You got the Airmen for the Air Force. You have the Sailors for the Navy. You have, obviously, the Marines, you know, a Marine. The Army is a soldier. And everyone's like, okay, well, I don't know. They just there. That's just the forgotten, sir. I want to hug a Coast Guard person. If you know a Coast Guard person, tell them to call me. I just want to hug them because we need them. They know good to us, but we don't know what the hell they do.
I will.
We don't know what the hell they do. Does anyone know what the Coast Guard
does?
What is their mission?
They stop the trafficking of the, you know, the drugs and everything that are coming into via the coastal waterways.
Never stop me from getting mine. But anyhow, go ahead.
You silly. Bro, you are silly,
I would have been broke.
Yes, you would have.
Keep up the good
work. You've been the first one they called. Yeah.
Keep up the good work.
This year, you were
hey,
so silly, but anyway.
Hey, Lee, I want to jump in a minute. I want to talk about the Coast Guard folks just real quick, because we do joke about the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard is the most active military organization that we have that stays in the combat theater longer than any other military organization that we have, and suffers casualties and losses in peacetime as much as almost wartime, and actually do get called up in wartime to patrol coasts, not just here, but even overseas. So I know we joke about the Coast Guard, but in Women's History Month, the highest ranking black female in the history of the Coast Guard just got promoted, just became a flag officer. She's from Jacksonville, Florida, I believe it is, and just happens to be a friend of the family. But when I looked up the Coast Guard trying to figure out what the heck she does and why it is such an important military branch that we have, I was really wowed by the significance that they play in our national security, not just for war, but, yes, for drug interdiction, for human trafficking, pretty much counterfeit art, antiquities, you name it, and the Coast Guard's involved in it, and they are truly a branch of the United States military, even though they formerly fell under the Department of Transportation.
So, Val, I'm sorry, we kind of hijacked the time. I apologize. So we're looking to grab folks to can let them understand that there are resources out there that can help literally save their lives.
Right.
And
because right now, suicide is the 13th highest form of a person unaliving themselves.
Has there been a common denominator that you found in your research or talking to people that have contemplated suicide? Meaning, is it the time spent away from home? Is it the lack of contact with loved ones? Is it the and you could have both. They could be separate or they could be the same. You know, cause,
it's it's a general consensus of it could be any one of those factors. Ironically, you should ask me about that. Last Memorial Day, we had an event out at my American Legion post, and me and my husband, we attended it, and we came back home. And just as we were getting ready to go to bed, I received a phone call, and it was from a friend of mine, and he was contemplating taking his life. And now I'm like, I'm his lifeline. He reached out to me, and, you know, he had called a couple of other people that we associate with and everything, and he was like, he said, he pretty much told me, he said, sis, if you hadn't answered that phone, that was going to be it. Because, he said, the other four people he called before he got to me, nobody answered. And now my mind is in overdrive. I'm trying to figure out, okay, I'm trying to make sure I say all the right things. I don't say the wrong thing that's going to cause him to, you know, take his life. So now my nerves is, I'm on 1 million at this point, trying to make sure everything's good. And then as me and him are talking, I find out that his baby mama's with him, that she done got into the mix. And every time I say something positive, that little heifer say something negative. It got to the point I said, just shut. You know what? I'm just real talk. I said, shut the fuck up before I come fuck you up. I said, you say one more goddamn thing, I'm going to bust your ass when I catch you. Remember, I know where you live. So I had to go there, and I had to go there because she thought this was a joke. She kept saying, "Oh, he playing, he do this all the time, blah 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 blah." No, this is, you don't play about this. This is somebody's life. And I normally don't try to go there, but when you're dealing with somebody with the mentality that they think suicide is a joke, you got to take it. You got to meet them on their level. To this day, she's still ducking me. But
she ain't trying to catch them rights and them left.
That's right.
Trying to catch them rights and them left.
And it's, you know, I literally call and check on him every day. If I don't get him by phone, I text him like, hey, just trying to make sure you're good. He's like, thanks, sis. And, you know, he has asked me what happened that night. What did he say? I have never told him, and I will not tell him what happened. I will not tell him what happened. Because I don't want to give him a reason to go down that road again. I do not want to give him a reason to go down that road again.
A friend of mine actually lived here in Charlotte,
And she was a friend of the show. And before I moved down here, roughly a year, she too committed suicide. And she was an Army veteran. And it was totally unsuspected, you know, because I talked to her probably a week or two before she passed. And she was listening to the show, and she was texting me on the side, and we were going back and forth just cutting it up. And I hadn't heard from a little bit. And her cousin reached out. She was like, "Yo, what you doing?" I was like, "Chilling." You know what I'm saying? She said, "You hear about Dee?" I was like, "No." "Hear what?" Yeah, she told me.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm not saying I am a subject matter expert on the, you know, on the subject of suicide,
right.
But after I found that out about, you know, my female soldier, and like I said, she was always the one to keep everybody laughing, to keep, you know, if I was having a bad day, she'd come sliding into my office like, "Mama, guess what, so-and-so did," and I'm like, "Girl, if you don't got to get out of here with that gossip," but she would always find a way to find a bright spot in the day. And for her to pick a long-term solution to a temporary problem, that hurt and that cut deep. Just recently, around the holidays, my mom and dad called and told me that one of my cousins, one of his sons, he took his life. He was a truck driver, and he was going through, things with his relationship. And apparently, he was somewhere up north waiting to deliver his load, and I don't know what the girl said to him, the young lady he was dating, but when they couldn't get him to answer his phone, they had to call the police, and the police broke into the truck, and he hung himself in the truck. And he was only 27. So suicide does not discriminate. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't care if you're male, you're female, you're black, white, Caucasian, you know, Hispanic, young or old. It doesn't matter. If somebody got their mindset to do that, they're going to do it.
So you decided to put this event together. Is this the first year?
No, this is the second year. So last year was the first year for the Eighth District, Second Division, American Legion Suicide Prevention Charity Ride. Last year the theme was "Let's Ride to Save Lives." Well, since the American Legion has made a big push towards the Be the One program, which means be the one to save somebody, call them, you know, just check in on your fellow brethren, because if we were there for them in battle, we need to still be there for them after, you know, we served our time and wore the uniform. And so this year is this year and going forth, the ride is going to always be the one. And my co-chair, John Potter, when he jumped on board with me last year, his son, ironically, had just took his life on New Year's Day. So this is personal for the both of us.
Where's the ride going to start and end at?
So this is the ride will start April 13th. It is a 6-county law enforcement escorted ride. We're going to start here in Cumberland County at the DMV off of Highway 24. I know your listeners probably don't know exactly where that is, but that's our starting point. From there, Cumberland County is going to lead us, take us around to the Harnett County line. Harnett County Sheriff is going to pick us up. Then Johnston County is going to pick us up, and we're going to stop off in Smithfield, North Carolina, at the Harley-Davidson dealership up there, where we have not only a pickup but a registration spot. We're going to be there for about 45 minutes, and then we're going to roll out to our second pickup, which is going to be our other sister post in Dudley, North Carolina, and we're going to grab them, and we're going to ride all the way out to the fairgrounds in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Because at the end of the ride this year, we put together a Be the One car, truck, bike, and Jeep show.
Okay. And that's going to happen next weekend, you said?
No, April 13th.
April 13th. I apologize. Okay.
April 13th.
I
we have decided that. Right. We have decided that April is going to be the month that we have the ride every year.
Okay.
Okay.
And
Rodney, you...
we don't care if you got two wheels, three wheels, or four wheels. It's all about coming out to support this event and the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, the North Carolina chapter.
Rodney, you want to get in?
No, brother. I was just listening, and when you start talking about suicide, and for me, suicide of airmen, I've had to deal with it with one of my troops, and he didn't commit suicide, but he said that he wanted to do it. And so, of course, that triggered certain actions in me, and that specific action at that time was to direct the individual to go to the hospital. And when he declined to go to the hospital, I directed by ordering him to go and personally escorted him to the facility for him to be checked up. And he actually got admitted into the facility. It just happened to be before a major inspection that we had coming. And looking back at it, I realized that one of the reasons why we didn't do as well on that inspection as we could have is the time that I had to spend with my troop. Well, I don't know if I had to spend it, but I chose to spend with my troop while he was going through that traumatic experience. But as important as the exercise was, it's not as important as my troop was. And that was the decision that I made. I've also learned so much in that process, and of course with all the training that we get, and even into the civilian world, I've carried it and have gone through similar situations as your guest. It really is imperative for us not to look at suicide just as a military issue, though that is in the forefront. But people are depressed and filled with anxiety all over. People are lonely nowadays, unlike at any other time that we have documented. And a lot of times when suicide becomes an option, it is because that person feels isolated in whatever capacity and feel like there is no one for them and nothing else for them. And just like your guest said, it actually can simply be just checking on whether it's a former troop or a person who's never served, just simply calling and checking on him. Lee, you are one of the greatest suicide preventers I have ever met because you check on everybody, brother.
Are you serious, bro?
Yes, you do. You really do. I mean, I've never, Rodney, I've never, even with my issues with mental health and everything, I've never thought about doing that. But for whatever reason, Lee has always, I'm having a bad day or feeling down or, you know, I'm in my head. For whatever reason, Lee has always managed to either call or text me like, hey, sis, how you doing? You was on my mind, just checking in with you. And he always does that. And you know, I never thought to tell you about it, but I do appreciate it.
Thank y'all. I take that. I appreciate that. I hold on to that. But I say all the time, and all the wildness that my pop was, my grandfather, that he was, and that boy was wild, I tell you. That's something that I picked up from him because he was the dude. He was the dude that kept up with it all the time. And I guess it just rubbed off on me. You know, it's just one of those things. But if I ride with you, I ride with you. If I don't, I don't. Not only will I tell you, I will show you that I do not ride. But if I ride with you, I ride with you. It's a beautiful thing to when I call people, they answer the phone. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, there's some people that call you all, you don't answer the damn phone. Or you slow about it. They might have to call you 3-4 times before you answer the phone. And I definitely answer the phone. And if I can't answer the phone, I tell everybody this. If I can't answer the phone in that moment, I will call you back. You don't need to call me 2-3-4 times for me to call you back. I will call your ass back. Just call me. If I miss the call, I will get back to you when I can. You know, we all right. have lives. Things happen. Things are going on. I will definitely call you back. I will not put you right. on the back burner any further than you need to be. you know, because things are happening in my life just like things are happening in yours. But I will make a point of calling you back. And, you know, and not only do I do that, I try to spread myself around a little bit and make sure I see people. Because, you know, with the advent of AI and other things, you don't know who the hell you talk to on the phone nowadays. So I make sure I pop out every now and again. And Rodney can attest to that, because I didn't pop up on his ass a couple of times.
When I had that, when I put together that prostate cancer charity ride, you told me you were going to try to show up. I'm literally on the bike, and you ran into my girlfriend's van, and she calls me like, girl, there's a man here looking for you, but I ain't giving him too much information. I said, as soon as she said that, I knew who it was. Out of anybody that could have been looking for me that day, I knew it was you. I knew it was you. Like, you will pop up on somebody. But the one thing that I have, you know, started to put into my routine, if I'm doing something, if somebody calls me back more than one time, something is wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
I take that as something is wrong. So I answer the phone.
Absolutely.
Now, if it's one of my friends that just want to gossip or nothing, girl, I'll call you back. I hang up. But if it's somebody that don't call me on a regular and they call me two or three times, like I had a situation where somebody had a family issue going on. I was like, and I'm back in school full time. So I was in my math class on campus, and I got, and, you know, I seen the call. I didn't send the call a second time. I said, okay, something ain't right. So I got up, and I walked out, and they told me what was going on. So I said, hey, let me get done my math class. I'm coming straight to you when I get done. Fortunately, it wasn't nothing that was, you know, she was going to try to unalive herself or anything, but she was having a family issue that she could not deal with because she had received some news about a family member that was, you know, that threw her off. So, when I left class, I went straight to her.
I got you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Brother Barry, you got anything to ask?
Well, I like the idea what she was saying about having each other's back, man, because I got a cousin who, her boyfriend served a tour in Desert Storm, and after he came back, he committed suicide right in front of her. And so that's always, you know, my family, you know, that's always, we love this dude, man. He was like family. Mild-mannered brother, man, just a good dude. And, you know, they said once he came back, he just wasn't the same anymore. Rest in peace to Fred. So I do like what Sister is saying, because I think that is important, that you have people that you can rely upon when you are going through it. And there's so many reasons why people go through it in today's time, and I think Rodney is right. So I do like the idea of, you know, keeping up with the folks you not only serve with, but family and your friends. And they are right, Lee. You do give a call. You do check in on your folks, man. And that's a good sign of a good person, because we don't have that in society no more. People don't really check on each other no more. And so I just salute to you, Sister, and bringing people together. You ain't got to be an expert per se on a topic. I think sometimes we get caught up in waiting on the experts, and what we find out is our experts in our community, they only show up when white folks tell them to and when they're getting a check. They don't necessarily show up to do the work on the day-to-day with people, the common folks, because they've kind of, you know, academia times kind of pushes them away from our peripheral, so we don't get to touch on them as much. So, hey, in my mind, you're an expert, because when that brother called, you saved their life. That made you an expert at that point. You got some experience in that situation.
Yeah, because, I mean, like I said, I talked to him, but for him to call me that late at night, it was somewhere between 12:30 and 1 o'clock. For him to call me that late at night, I was like, okay, something ain't right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like I said, I talked to him and stuff like that. But one of the things that I want to touch on real quick, a lot of times most of our veterans, when they, you know, commit suicide, they are, you know, it's a myriad of things. It could be wartime. It could be scared to come back, you know, adapt back to civilian life. It could be finance. It could be relationship. It could be a myriad of things. And a lot of homeless veterans that I found out, they do not go out and seek help because they are scared. There is either one, two things. They're either scared because they feel like people are going to talk about them or not going to help them, or two, they just don't know the resources are there for them.
Sis, let me tell you, that acclimating back to civilian life stuff, you know what I'm saying, I don't think anyone does a good enough job on helping us get back to that.
And if you've never served, you don't understand that. But I'm telling you, it is is tough.
It was hard for me.
It was hard for me.
I went into, like when they first told me that they had to medical retire me because of my injuries, I went into a depression for 3 months because I'm like, how, you know, when you're in the military, you and your family are accustomed to a certain way of life. You're accustomed to, you know, certain money coming in at a certain time. So then I'm like, well, I'm like, damn, how am I going to make this work? Now everything's going to be on my husband. Now we might get divorced because he can't handle. How am I going to find a job that's going to be equal? You know what I'm saying? All of that ran through my mind. And then one day I woke up and it was like a whole burden had been lifted over me. It was like, God said, don't worry, I got you. And from that day forth, I've just been moving forth. And one of the best things that I have ever done was become a member of the American Legion and the VFW so I could still continue to do the work that I was doing in the military. I'm not serving in wearing that uniform, but I'm wearing the uniform of American Legion and a veteran. So I'm still out in the community, and I'm getting awarded a Humanitarian Woman of the Year award tonight. And the person that nominated me, I told her, I don't do this for accolades. I do it because there's a need.
And this is an all woman thing. So even though I asked to come, I was told I couldn't come because it's all women. So you know, I'm not in my feelings about that. I was just letting that be known.
Maybe eventually down the road, she might fit where family and friends and spouses can come. But
I ain't in my feelings.
Organization.
It's okay.
I know, but I got to shout out my friend and classmate. Minister Katrina Collins and her organization Fueled by Falls. I think this is her fourth or fifth year doing this. And when I tell you, she puts out when she rolls out the red carpet to honor women that are doing great things in the community, she goes all out. And she just got her nonprofit certification and accreditation earlier last year. So I'm really proud of her for that. And she just published two books. She's a published author as well, so yeah.
Okay, that's what's up. Well, is there any additional information you want to share about the event coming up?
If anybody got any questions, they can reach out to me at 910-723-0399. We also are looking for vendors that day, especially food vendors. If you want to make a donation, please call me at my number so that way I can tell you how you can make that donation, how you can get the funds to me. And last but not least, if you're not doing anything, just come out and ride because this is going to be a fun ride. Let me tell you, you called me last year on one of the stops. Let me tell you, when I tell you those deputy sheriffs, they treated us like we was rock stars. They treated us like we was rock stars. It was like the partner of the Red Sea, we was coming down the highway. And we had 35 bikes, 7 vehicles, and it was a beautiful thing. We raised about $600 for this year. We're looking to raise more, but we're not setting a dollar amount because we don't want to, you know, stagnate ourselves at a certain number.
I got you. Are you a combat wounded veteran? Rodney was asking.
Not combat. Well, technically, I was injured in combat. I was in a rollover in Iraq. So I broke 4 vertebrae in my back.
Gotcha. Anything else you want to ask, Rodney?
I want to know, does she have a Purple Heart? And if yes, I'm sorry that we're both a member of that club. And if not, why not?
No, I was not I'm not a member of the Purple Heart Club. And where I was at the time, I was there at the beginning and the ending of one era. I was there for New Dawn and the ending of Iraqi Freedom and the beginning of New Dawn. And what had happened was we were driving down one of those dirt roads. It was raining, and the front tire got too close to the edge of the road, and it hit a soft spot, and we rolled. And when I rolled over, I come down on that that black box with the AC unit in the back.
Ronnie, you good?
Yeah, well, sister,
yeah,
I'm sorry to hear about your injury, but I'm very happy to know that you were able to survive and then come out and thrive. And even though you came close to losing your own life, now you're saving lives, which is just a testament to you. So salute to you, to you as a female warrior and just a warrior in general for this country. And now you're still out there in the thick for your fellow soldiers and all of those who serve. So big ups to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And Lee, if you're available that
day, come on out.
And I hope.
One more time. You got to get a number. You know, we on radio, so you got to give it slow. You got to give it a couple of times. You got to give it slow so people can write it down. You give it, and people
okay.
are like, oh, I ain't got my pen. Oh, now I got my pen. She's there to eat. You got to say it one more time.
Okay. My number is 910-333-0399. That is my direct business line for anybody that wants to contact me concerning the ride. Once again, 910-723-0399.
All right. Thank you, sis. I appreciate you. You have a great one. And, you know, if I can make it, I definitely will be there.
I appreciate it. And if you can't, all I ask is that you let me come on for a little bit while we're on the ride.
I got one more question, though.
We always miss.
I got one more question. Hey, what's Charlene look like? What's Charlene look like? She sounded good.
I don't think Cousin Mike is going to appreciate that. See, Charlene is not only my stylist, but she is my cousin-in-law. My husband and her are second cousins, and I don't think Mike would approve of it, and Derek definitely would approve of it.
You just horrible, dog. You just horrible.
Listen. We ain't trying to,
we ain't trying to bring them
Mike
home.
Or Derek. That ain't what we trying to do. We just want to, hey, Charlene sound like she five. So tell her, hey, keep up the good work.
All of us Raina women are fine. We're all fine. We're all fine.
Okay, all right. That's all we say.
Don't, you know,
props to the hairstylist.
Thank you. Bro, I would definitely
make
sure
I'm sorry. I'm so embarrassed. Sorry. Lord have mercy. But look
hey,
here. If
look,
her name was Keisha, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, what's her name? Because it was Keisha. I was like, hold on, man. I might need to leave right now. Y'all be good.
All
thanks,
right, well, Lee, look, I already know what I get into when I come on your show, so I'm cool. So thank you. Nice talking with you, Rodney. Thanks for having me on the show again.
All right, love you, baby. Thank you.
All right, love you too. Bye-bye.
All right, now. So, boy, you fool. I liked it, though. I liked it. I dang sure was like, ooh. That's why I was like, what's her name is? And she said Keys. I'm like, hold on now. Might need to talk offline about that one. You know, high and by my Keys. No. But, yeah, man, very, very important that we save a life, be it a veteran or not, you know what I'm saying? Like, folks have value, and we just need to make sure that they understand their value. And again, I appreciate you all with your kind words about me and what I do, just what I do, you know what I'm saying? I'm used to it. I just go through it. Rodney?
You know, I was thinking,
Thomas?
I love everything about Lee except for the fact that he gets me up early on a Saturday morning. But besides that, brother, you talked in my book.
Oh, man, that's hilarious.
All right.
Hey,
yeah,
I was knocked out until a general called to wake me up to get on the show, brother. So a big props to the general for always standing in the gap and looking out for a brother. You know, locally, she's kind of like my suicide preventer because she's always there. I can always call on her. And even when I don't call on her, she'll call on me because she know I need to call on her. So big shouts out to her because I definitely wouldn't be able to do a whole lot of the stuff that I think I'm doing. And even being on this show right now, I was light sleeping and thinking about it, but nature was in full effect. And nature was saying, brother, you need to sleep. But the general said, no, you need to get up and get on that show.
So let me ask y'all this question, because you brought up the general. And she brought up the thing with the people, you know, as we were giving Lee his props about family and friends and folks who serve with you. Once again, fellas, don't just go all the way back to relationships and having those ties with folks who's going to look out for you and make sure you're okay.
Needing them and wanting them, yes. Yes, absolutely. You know, we are not meant to run this race by ourselves. And for those who choose to put themselves in the box of, I'm good without you. More power to you. I don't want to be in that box. I don't want to be in that group. I don't want to be amongst them because I'm not. I know I'm not. I know I'm not better without you. I know I'm not better by myself. Shit, I need help. I'm a man. If nothing, that means I'm stupid automatically. It's just how it is. Men are socially stupid. That's why we need women, to make us socially palatable. And when we don't, then we do stupid stuff. No, we do. Now, a lot of the stupid stuff turns into amazing creations. Well, that's not true. Some of the stupid stuff turns into amazing creations. A lot of it's just stupid. And that's why they make shows about us, because we're just dumb. That's what we are by nature. We are going to push the envelope. We are going to go beyond. We're going to always try something different and boom, boom. And we die in the process. Hey, I live my life and boom. We need a woman there to be like, hey, you can slow your ass down. Look at here, man. I know this is your life, but there's more to it than just you getting the thrill or the frill out of the moment, you know. Why you keep putting those batteries on your tongue? You keep putting them batteries on your tongue, fool. You're going to poison yourself. Stop that. That's just stupid. But as men, we would do it because it's funny. We put the batteries on our tongue. We get the little shock. Like, shoot. That's funny. Do it, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. That's what we do. We need a woman to civilize ourselves. I understand. I hope better for myself. I really do. I really, really do. You know, but I'm at the point too where it's just not anybody's gonna come along and help me, because you need to be able to help, and I need to be able to help you. And if there's no space for me in your life, and I create no space for you in my life, then we will never be able to make it work. So no, that's just not gonna work. That ain't gonna work. So, but yeah. Yep.
Yeah, no, I thought when she was saying that, I was like, man, look at it again. It always comes back to this idea of, look, we need each other. And the way that we act like we don't need each other, you know, that's the embarrassing thing to me. The excuses that we make about how we don't need one another. And the reality of it is, where would we be without one another? You know, especially when things get tight, as she was talking about, you know, when you're down and out and you're not feeling right. And listen, y'all, I was going to make this post this week, but I really didn't want to get into too much controversy as I try to sell my product, right? But I was going to make a post talking about how, you know, in our community, maybe the elders was right when they talked about putting your significant other in front of your children, because guess what? Your kids, I love my kids to death, but you know what I know about all my children is that they are doing their own thing. My significant other, you know, when you get to a point, man, you and your significant other, that's all you got. People may not want to hear that, and folks may not, you know, feel that, but the reality of it is we put too much time into, and I think a lot of it is about control, y'all, by the way. I think we control our kids, and we can't control a significant other, so we struggle with that. But I do see, like, with the suicidal situations, when people's health start deteriorating in general, or even just financial or just, you know, emotional and support. Like if Brother Rodney's out there doing what he's doing out in Vegas, hey, he needs someone to come home and have that conversation with about what's happening, when things go right or go wrong. You need that support. You know, your significant other is not just there when things go wrong. You need somebody when you're feeling good, Lee, right? You want to come home and be like, guess what happened to me today? Versus having to call a woman on the phone.
Sir.
You feel what I'm saying? So I think I thought that was very important what she was saying. Even when I cracked on the hairdresser, you know, right away she said, oh, no, because so-and-so, and it's like, you're right. And that's the beauty of it. It's like, hey, you know, being able to say she got a husband, that's beautiful. I love hearing that. She got a man? Because I live in a place, y'all, where you seen that hairdresser today, Lee, right? You see how big she was, right? She ain't got no man. She ain't got a man first. She ain't got no man. And so, you know, that's commonplace in Minnesota, unfortunately. You know, we have that common. There's plenty of sisters here that's fine. They ain't got nobody. When I say nobody, I mean they ain't got a man the first.
That's just sad. sad situation we in, I promise. Mm-hmm. But can we cycle back, because we got 20 minutes left, to State. Roddy, did you watch the recap of the State of the Union? Because I know you had something else to do that day. Did you watch the – were you able to catch the recap? Were you able to get the cliff notes?
Yeah, I came in right during the recap.
Okay. Masterclass. He at the point that I came in, he was talking about Social Security and how the Republicans wanted to cut Social Security in order to recoup some of the funds that they lost, that the country lost, I'm sorry, when they ballooned the national debt because of the tax cuts that Trump wanted. And they said that they weren't going to do that. He said, oh, so you're not going to cut that? You promise? That's not what you want to do? Boom. Then he went onto the border and started critiquing them on the border deal. That was cut. It was a bipartisan group. They had it. It was moving. And it got close to becoming reality. Trump made the call and told them to kill it. You know, his stance was, we had a bipartisan bill. It was good to go. Moving forward, it would provide us with extra machinery, extra staff. It would speed up the process mm-hmm. of determining who's legal, who's not, who's getting in, who's not getting out. If the issue is at the border and you want to change, let's pass the bill, let's move forward. I'm willing to make it happen. What's the problem? Dude, he was killing me. Yes, he stuttered. Yes, he got caught up and twisted. He went in a direction and was trying to pivot too fast. And you could tell he wasn't all way there, but he was able to pivot back eventually. And, you know, he didn't ramble, just boom, too much. Someone gave him a note, obviously, if he gets stuck or if he needed to find his way to grab a drink of water and act like he was thirsty, which he did a number of times. It was a good ploy, but you could read through it if you know the backstory and stuff like that, or the behind-the-scenes stuff and stuff like that. But he stayed on message. I think he really did reshape the argument about the election, because it's clear after Super Tuesday whom is going to be the eventual nominee, especially since Nikki Haley's fallen out of the race. Now the only person really left of significance is Trump, so he will get the delegates and eventually be the nominee. But, hey, man, it was a master class. The dude did great. He did great. He hit on Israel with the demands that they needed to do at least a 6-day ceasefire in order. He ordered the military to build a temporary port to get supplies in as a humanitarian effort. He hit on drug costs. He hit on Obamacare. He hit on a dude. I mean, he pounded them. I'm just thinking of where he did not go. Oh, the tax cuts for the millionaires, making them pay their fair share. He hit on everything. I mean, it was just like, I'm sitting in the house like, oh, shit, bam, okay. You know, it really felt like a campaign speech. It really felt like he was out there stumping. But he had them locked in a room, and he ripped them to shreds. Your girl, Marjorie Taylor Greene, was there with her Make America great hat on, a T-shirt, like she was at a damn rock and roll concert or a baseball game. Just ridiculous. He had a couple of hecklers, but they got handled as well. Moved on. You know, they wanted to bring up, what's that name? Lincoln Riley, I want to say. I think that's how you pronounce it. The young lady, the nursing student in Georgia that was killed by illegal. And he brought that up as well. He said, hey, you give me the resources I need, we can get better at doing it. We can prevent stuff like this. Right? You said you want to fix. There was a fix there. I was willing to vote for it. You killed it, not me. He put it square back on the GOP. He made them look like fools, Kat. He made them look like fools. And it as I'm watching him and listening to him, I'm thinking about what you've been saying for a while. You know, according to the numbers, Biden is going to go down as one of the greatest presidents we've ever had. This dude has done a lot in this first 4 years. He's done a lot. in the first 4 years. So, Rodney, yeah, bro, you might be right on that one. You might be right. And he never mentioned Trump by name. He kept hitting him over the head with my predecessor, my predecessor, my predecessor. I thought that was did I say illegal? I meant undocumented. Thank you, Ryan, for correcting me. I think that was just brilliant. I thought it was a brilliant ploy because he never had to say his name to give him credence. He never had to say his name to give him any additional press. All he said was my predecessor. Thought it was cool. I thought it was smooth. Thomas, did you see any of it?
No, I did not see. Well, hold on. I'm sorry, I didn't see it live. I did watch some of the commentary afterwards, and you know, hey man, the State of the Union. I thought he hit on some great points. The only thing, and I'll just keep on saying it again. I love the idea of, you know, some of the things that he has done, but I still feel like it's just so much more. And I do agree with Flies. I think they do a poor job of messaging. I think that's what they suffer the most from, is they don't know how to message all of the things that they've done. And then you to the State of the Union,
yep,
is talked about. But up until that point, what's the conversation? You know, we don't hear that conversation much at all. You know, so I feel like they've done some great things, but I don't think they know how to talk about what they've done. I think they just know how to, you know, they get to the State of the Union and it's like, okay, he's going to tell it. But for the voters, some of the things, and a lot of it is technicality. So, you know, I know when Brother Rodney breaks it down, it's like, yeah, brother, you get it. I get it because we like politics, but that doesn't do anything for the average person who don't like politics. They don't see the value in some of the things. And we can be harsh and we can criticize the American public, but the reality of it is when you are the CEO in charge of any entity, it's your job to sell the customers on what you're doing, right? The benefits of your program. It's your job. It's not on them to really know what you've done. It's on you to sell it to them. So we can't blame the people for not always recognizing what's being done because it's not being sold properly. And they have to do a better job of that. Then they also have to do a better job of creating a better America. You have to almost, when somebody's always reciting the problem, he got to recite the solution to the problems that Trump talks about. Because he can do it. He can always say, hey, you know, the GOP or, you know, the Republican Party, these are the things that they want to talk about. But here's some of the things that we are doing right now that's going to make us better as a nation. Here's some things that I like to do that will make us better as a nation. And call them out and say, hey, call them out and talk about some of these red states and say, hey, we could do some things better in these states if they, like what he did with the whole thing with the illegals. He can always say, hey, we could do way more better things if they play ball. You know, they're deciding not to play ball, you know. So that's the thing I think Biden can do a better job. And it's not just Biden. I always say this because a lot of times we talk about the president, we talk about the governor or the mayor, but we have to remember that the DNC has a party, and the party's not doing a good job of messaging to me. It's not just Biden. It's not just Biden. It's the overall party. Yes. He has the bully pulpit, but they know how to message. They know how to get people elected, and I think that they have to do it not only on a national level but on a state level as well.
Rodney, any comment?
Well, I was listening to what Brother Barry says, and I've heard that a lot, and I agree. But, you know, we also have to put the onus on the people. Because our form of government is not a monarchy, even though they're trying to make it that way. We are supposed to be hiring him, or, well, it's him because we know he's the nominee now. That's our role. That's our job. And when you're hiring someone, you put them through a job interview where you ask them questions, and they give you, the employer, the answer. And so sometimes I think we have our role backwards. And I understand why that is, but I also believe that we need to take control of the situation. The reality of the elections is that the election is going to come down to about 6% of the electorate, 6%. They're going to be the ones that make the decision on who our next commander-in-chief is going to be. I've often said that we do a horrible job in educating our children to take over the helm of this American corporation because they are the employers. They're not the employees. They need to put demands on those who are trying to get that one spot, because that's all it is. It's just one job. That's what's up at stake, just one job. And we have to do a better job as employers on who we're hiring to represent us. And that start, you know, definitely that's with the president, but that's up and down the ticket. We see that this stuff is all interrelated. Some people say, well, no, it's local elections that's most important. Some people say, no, it's federal, national elections that's most important. They all work in concert with one another. Trumpism is an ideology. It has taken over the GOP, and he has put his family in charge of it, like any other good dictator or crime boss. The only way we're going to defeat this is with another and better ideology, because facts, truth, shame, none of that is going to change any of these people's minds. We have to look at it as we're fighting an ideology, and bombs will not kill it. Maybe bombs of words and of thought. That's all we have to fight this. And we need to get in the game fighting it, regardless of what party, tribe we may associate ourselves with. This is about us and our survival, and we need to act like it.
I was having a conversation with you both about the lunch that I had just the other day, in which the most beautiful lunch I've had in a while. I said to you then, and I'll say to you again now, let the audience in on it. It wasn't the food that I had. It wasn't the company that I had, because I was eating by myself. It was Wendy's. It wasn't the greatest food in the world. It wasn't exactly there. But in front of me, there was a table of older white folks, male, one, three females. And the one female that was talking the most was just going on and on and on, because Fox News was playing. Can we call it Fox? Can we call it Fox News? Can we do that? Because they've already admitted that it's not news. It's more of an entertainment
faux
program.
News,
so is
brother.
That really the news?
News.
Okay, faux news. Okay, so faux news is playing in the background, and the white woman was just going on and on about how Biden was going to get up there and just lie and lie, and how his mind was gone, but he can remember a lot. He'll stand up there and swirl a tail, and how Hillary shouldn't have laughed when she was under investigation. She should have pulled the troops out of Afghanistan. Like, she was the Secretary of State, not the Secretary of Defense. Not how that works. And even if she were, only the president could make that call. That's not how this works. But Hillary was enriching herself. That's why the troops still stayed there. Her grandson was over there. I'm like, so you – okay, so how do you feel about January 6th and storming of – Capitol building. You have no feelings about that? I'm listening. I'm just listening. I'm like, okay. And this was the day of the state of the union. So coming home to watch Joe put on the masterclass was wonderful to and for me, because I would really like to sit across from them again, or sit behind them again, listen to their rebuttal to what President Biden said. Additionally, Trump has secured the $90 million bond to petition his judgment in the E. Jean Carroll case. He has not secured the $53 million bond for the other case in New York. And that is due in 2 weeks.
I believe it's due by the 25th. So March is going to be a hell of a month for Donald J. Trump. And I'm curious to see if he's able to secure the bond. Because, you know, now that he secured that bond, everybody and their mama is going to go through how he was able to do it. If he's able to secure the bigger bond, this will truly give us even a greater picture into his financial state.
I just think, man, the conversation need to be, we need to rewrite the Constitution. It's time to shorten the length of the time that folks can be on the Supreme Court. It also need to put greater restrictions on the Supreme Court. That is part of the problem. You got a crooked Supreme Court, and you got these crooked federal courts, and they're going to let him do what they want to do because they all believe that they're going to get more once he gets in. And what can we do as a country when the same people that's supposed to uphold the law, they don't give a damn about the law. So if they don't care about the law, what are the citizens supposed to do when it comes to the law? So to me, what he's doing and what this is a sign of is that as long as you got money, you can get away with the worst of the worst in this country. That's what they're saying. Just have the money. If you really want to do it, just have the money. And if you got the money, you can do and be whatever the hell you want to be because, hey, we're going to make sure that as long as you got the money, we're gonna keep you in power or around power because ain't no way possible this fool should be on any ballot. No way. No way possible.
You said it again. Well, we got 3 minutes left in the show. Any closing comments?
Hey, man, relationships. Once again, it matters. It always goes back to that, man. I was happy what I heard, you know, not about the suicides and all of those things, but it's just good to see that people are, you know, finding folks that they can reach out to and find a network. So kudos to that, sister. And a shout out to you, Lee, for supporting me on that journey.
Oh, man, look, that's what we do. Rodney? Rodney might have stepped off. He probably got a phone call. All right, well, I'll give you
nah, it's Women's History Month, brother, and I just wanted to tell everybody, recognize those women. It's Women's History Month for a reason. Even though they beat us down, they need us and we need them, and this is our opportunity to show them, and let's give them the floor as much as possible and elevate them for these 31 days.
Yeah, definitely was sad that Sister Rashi wasn't able to join today. You know, definitely need her voice every week, but especially during this month, it's even more necessary to have that voice in this space. So we wish you well, sis. Hopefully you'll be better and back with us and next week, if not the week after. But I wanted to say, too, in my closing, I think Russell Wilson is going to go to Pittsburgh. I think that Chase Young will sign with the Ravens, and we will lose Odell Beckham. We will lose Patrick Queen, but this draft is going to be bananas. I think you're going to see more trades in this draft than ever because Carolina's desperate to get back into the first round. Dallas needs to do some big things. And I would say the same. I would be curious what Green Bay does as well. I wouldn't put them out of the realm of making a big splash either. So, look, y'all, thank you all for listening live. Thank you all for listening later. As we say about this time every week, we love you in advance. Thing you can do about it. Until next week, family. Peace!